Are you ready to expand your life in reality? Join us for the next hour with Jamie Bates as she shares life-changing thoughts, techniques, and awarenesses to help you expand your reality. Listen every Wednesday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hello and welcome. I am Jamie Bates, consciousness facilitator and expander of realities. My mission with my radio show is to create greater awareness of what is possible and to expand you beyond the limitations of this reality. I'm grateful that you're joining me today. And today I have a special guest with me, Andrea Dombecki. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Jamie.
It's great to have you. Andrea is a multifaceted healer and integrator of the new reality. Andrea communicates with the fairy kingdom with healings and teaching that she channels from the whole magical realm, right? The leprechauns, the fairies, unicorns, really so much more. So Andrea's going to talk to us about that today. Andrea is also a graphic designer who has worked in the fashion industry designing shoes. And she's kind of stepped away from that, from fashion for a while, and has been working with entrepreneurs, helping them to create their online branding and also helping them to publish their works of art. She's helped me a ton over the years with my branding. Most of my logos come from her, my book design, and even publishing. She helped me right through the whole process of it. And Andrea really has many talents. So today we're focusing mostly on her talent to communicate with the magical beings of the fifth dimension, but she really is a multi-faceted person. So thank you so much for joining me today, Andrea. I'm grateful to have you. I'm excited to talk. So welcome.
Thanks, Jamie. I'm excited to be here and to invite the Fairy Kingdom to work with us today and to connect with everybody. And I really feel them all around me, and I mostly see them and feel them. And once I start inviting them, they kind of come in large groups. So I feel their presence with us. So I'd just like to kind of acknowledge that for a second, and even for our listeners to talk about how we can start to open our heart to that connection, because we are naturally not really taught it in our culture, but it's been so healing and magical for me. So I just want to take a moment to have everybody kind of open their heart and just tune in and invite the fairies to connect with them right now. And I'm also curious about your connection with the fairies, if you feel them when I say that or get visions of them, or if you've had any experiences with the fairy realm.
Are you talking specifically to me or to the audience?
To you, Jamie.
Oh, awesome. Yes, I have. And I love, can I just acknowledge for a moment, I just love the space of magic that you bring. I feel like following you over the past couple years, you've really invited me so much into reminding me the magic of the plants and the, you know, where the fairies live, and how the really just kind of the magic of this whole kind of kingdom really brings a fun, playful, magical energy to your life. So it's really an amazing energy that you, this playfulness, this funness that you integrate has really been a fun energy for me to be playing with. I've always connected, I guess, especially as a kid, with really kind of like the unicorns. I always was very drawn to unicorns. I think it's such a magical time to be alive right now. So many people are really acknowledging kind of the unicorn energy, right? So yeah. So tell me what you think, like, okay, so let's back up here for a moment. So tell me when you started first kind of connecting within the magical realm, and kind of how your journey has been with doing this for your life.
Yeah, it has totally been a lifelong journey. And so I started always as an artist. Even as a little child, I would draw little people with flower heads and I would tell their stories. And I always grew up in nature. Like, my mom had a garden and we lived in the suburbs. We always lived next to a giant forest. And I was always like planting things. My mom was always very in tune naturally with like flowers and animals, like baby animals were always coming to her to give birth. Like she always had puppies and kittens. And then she was always giving them flower essences and she used all natural cleaning products. And so as I started to really feel drawn also to fairy art, like I started to hang it around my house. I started to draw my own. And then when I really started to dive into my channeling and healing abilities, I mostly started with angels, but then I started to realize that I could listen and talk to the fairies. And then I started listening and then they were so loud. And then that was just the beginning of me starting to uncover my even life purpose with them as a healer, as an artist, as a channeler, and how those energies work in our society with creativity, with children, with the magic of even fairy tales and that illustration and how those books bring us to those magical worlds. And even though it's coming from a playful toy or story perspective, it's still doing that, you know, magical transformation. I know we've all experienced that when we open up a fairy tale book or we watch a Disney movie, we feel our heart open and we feel our spirit start to, you know, jump into this joyous realm. And so when I started to really develop my channeling abilities and start to jump into really working with the fairies, I started to feel such incredible energy downloads from them that I kind of couldn't stop. And I started to understand my life purpose with them to really start to uncover our magical connection with nature, the healing powers of nature. And I always grew up with nature, but I didn't understand on a conscious level how nature was healing me and how it was such an integral part of my life and how there were fairies in my garden and there were my tree in the front yard had a spirit. And starting to like just jump into that world has been like so rewarding for me. And then when I moved out from, I grew up in New York City, but when I moved out to the Pacific Northwest, there's a lot of old growth forests here and the fairies and the leprechauns and the unicorns and everyone got really loud here. And then so I started to uncover more and more of my work with them because it was like so powerful out here. It was like before I would have to sit and meditate and be like, okay, I want to connect with the fairies and listen. But when I'm out here in these magical forests and gardens, they kind of come to you. It's like I don't even invite them and I can hear them. So I really feel that it's an untapped kind of human thing that we want to connect with the fairies and we naturally do, but we're just kind of not taught in our society. So part of my purpose is to help people uncover that once again and also give them permission to, because I know for years I went through, and I wanted to talk about this today, just kind of the shame or fear or judgment of ourselves when we kind of see fairies or talk to them, that people will think we're weird or crazy or even that it's like unholy and that we're connecting with demons. I mean, that's another thing that comes up. So throughout the years of doing my fairy work, I really had to be an ambassador of leading that, like, it's okay to do this. Ancient tribes have done this in England and Iceland and Ireland, all those countries. It's really part of their culture, and it's not even part of religion. It's not even mixed. It's that they just know that there's little people in the land, and it's part of like their folklore. And so I'm really kind of excited to see how that's uncovering for humanity once again, because even on a, you know, practical level, the fairies help us with environmental healing and bringing peace to earth. But so did you have any questions or comments on that, Jamie?
Yeah, I mean, that's super. I love how much I'm gonna say strength and power you have in what your mission is here. That's amazing. So tell me, like, I guess, so you were talking about really teaching people how to connect and go beyond the shame energy, and you're absolutely positively right, right? People have been talking about the little people forever and the fairies, and, you know, we've all grown up with this idea that it exists, but at the same time, it's almost like a, and I'm going to use the word, like you said, folklore, right? Like, it's almost like it's not a truth. It's it exists, but only in like our, maybe our imaginations or maybe our minds. So I know we were going to talk about today, even kind of how, I guess for me, it makes sense within, we're elevating, right? We're going from the third dimension to the fifth dimension. Now for you, from your personal point of view, do the fairies exist in the fifth dimension? Do the leprechauns, do the unicorns, are they fifth dimensional beings or are they in a different dimension?
I totally believe they're fifth dimension and even higher. There's many even theories that I've read about that certain elves and unicorns even go up to the seventh and ninth dimension. But as our dimension rises, we can interact with them more. That's why you're seeing more unicorn channelings and articles and things like that throughout our culture, because as our dimension rises, that happens. And there's a lot of theories about how those beings ascended themselves, but then they kind of come back to help us. And yeah. So, and it's really because they embody this higher bliss kind of consciousness. And so when we connect with them, it's almost we have to shift our dimension. And you'll notice that, like when I do a fairy circle or a guided journey, everybody kind of gets into this place of like magical bliss, and you can feel it in your nervous system. Like your whole being is shifted to a place like beyond fear. So I definitely feel as we start to shift dimensions, we're connecting with those beings more. And it's just kind of understanding that there are so many realms. Like I was making a list the other day, there's like mermaids, dragons, unicorns, fairies, and then those realms kind of interact with each other. But the major thing about the fairies and the difference between the fairies and the angels is that the fairies are very connected to the physical, to the earth, guardians of the plants and the planet, Gaia. So it's like they really teach us the secret, unlock the secrets of that, that as humans we've kind of fallen asleep to that, like the secret, like hot spots of the earth, the magic of the forest. And I wanted to talk about how that's connected to 5D, because it's going beyond human scientific even laws. The fairies go beyond that with like instant manifestation. Like there's been reports of like as the planetary dimension rises that trees are appearing. Like people, there's these reports of places where people are like, a tree just appeared on their land. Oh. Like, because it's like those trees exist on that higher dimension. So as our dimension rises, we can interact with those things. Awesome. And then it's defying the laws of science, like manifesting. I've had like instant manifestations with the fairies, like just little things, like chocolate will appear, like they make things. So it kind of breaks us out of like that human limitation of what we've been programmed since birth, since day one. Like this is how you do things. This is the slow kind of physical realm. And one of the major teachings I've been learning from the leprechauns, especially a lot, is that energy of instant manifestation, which I've also heard about with, I don't know if you've read books about the Ascended Masters too, that part of our ascension and self-mastery is that ability to align with the universe and love and instantly create things.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. So as we are ascending, right, as we are moving up dimensions here, so the fairy kingdom, these magical kingdoms of these 5D and up beings are going to become more and more accessible to us. So do you feel like your work as you're teaching people, and I know that this is a premise, a lot of what you do, right? Opening yourself up to the fairy kingdom, and I think that you said this, has such a healing presence with it, right? So when people become more open to the fairy kingdom, it helps to really, would you say it helps to heal their being, or how would you explain that?
I feel it helps on a very practical, physical level. Fairies are really help us with our connection with nature, with but also with being in a human body, which is hard for some of us that are so spiritual, or you know, we feel like we're a star being or something. The fairies really help me, I know personally, to understand how to be in the physical, and then beyond that, understand how to connect with the magic of my home, garden, the land that I live on. And all those are aspects of health, also bringing joy to our families, the children around us, our community. The fairies help us to get more into that heart-centered energy of like our interaction with others and the world. And they always talk to me about that lately, because I know, especially here in America, in our modern culture, it's like you go inside, you shut the door, and you watch TV alone. And there's not as much interaction with the community around us. So it's like, those are a few aspects that they help us with. One is, you know, balancing our energy in a human body, our interaction with the earth, our magical connection with the foods we eat, the plants, our connection with one another, and then ultimately also our connection with creativity and life purpose. Fairies are major bringers and inspirers of creative energy, which is one of the most powerful forms of healing, I find, for myself, especially as an artist. Like, I can sit and do an energy healing on myself, or I can paint a picture or a mural or build a fairy house, and I know I already get that energy. So that's another major way they help us, is to get into our creativity. And our creativity has many levels. You could be a writer, a musician, a cook, even, you know, decorating your house, gardening, rearranging things. There's so many aspects of creativity, and it's such a beautiful like rainbow energy that heals our being. Even as I talk about it, I feel, when I just like meditate on what is creativity and how are the fairies going to inspire that within me, I feel this like rainbow energy and happiness kind of starting to run through my body, and that starts to like balance my nervous system and, you know, increase my life force and chi. So those are a few of the major ways that the fairies kind of work with us to live more in harmony with our being. And I think that's also part of moving into 5D, is we want this more joyous, heart-centered, like happy earth life.
Oh,
as
definitely.
Opposed to stress and,
yeah, definitely.
And, you know, yeah.
So I know that you are like, you are such a master creator. It's like, I always see all of these different things that you're always creating. So, give us an example of something that you have created recently and what it teaches people, and I guess kind of all of the kind of the aspects of it. Describe something that you've recently created. I know, let me say, because it really, it was really an interesting energy when I seen it. You had created something recently with, I know it was Pan. What was that? Tell us about that.
Well, Pan is like a deity or god that's been kind of, we learned about in our culture. We also think of like Peter Pan, and it's always connected to the fairy kingdom. And so when I was, you know, I do fairy classes, and I was like, you know, what do the fairies want to come through? You know, this month, I really felt that energy of Pan, and I think it's kind of hard to define. I think Pan is, to me, a fairy king that helps us to connect with the spirit of nature and green living things and the abundance of that on a deep level. And fairies, especially Pan, is more like beyond the physical, like an angel, which means they can be with every single one of us at the same time. Like, they're beyond the limitation of a physical body. They're like a spiritual energy. So when I was connecting with Pan, I was kind of getting downloads about the healing power of nature and how the wind kind of speaks to us. And so when I do my fairy classes, it's like a kind of body attunement, energy attunement to that fairy or that subject. And then I like to kind of hold space for my students or the people listening to have their own experience with Pan. So when I did my Pan class, I did a lot of like guided meditations for people to personally have their connection to Pan and connect with that healing power of the forest. And even the day that I did that class, I went to a deep green forest by me, and it was like so lush. And it was like Pan was showing me, opening my eyes to the healing power of green things on a deeper level. And I have memories of that, like as a kid, when spring would happen and summer and the tall trees and all the greenness, but just start to connect with more and more how that makes our body feels, and drinking that into our chakras, right? So those are some of the teachings of Pan, but I do like for people to have that space to have their own experience.
Okay, cool. Awesome. That's super cool. I love the way that you can connect within each and every one of these different beings, right? These different deities, and really kind of get the experience of them. So what is, I know that you have really, I mean, you've created so many different things. You have, not only do you have, how many classes would you say with different fairies, different, I know you have, you do lots with leprechauns. Leprechauns are such a fun energy. They have such a space of magic about them. Did you just recently do one on leprechauns? What did you just recently do? You just recently released something, didn't you?
I did one on flower and plant medicine of summer. And then I am actually, I know what you're talking about. I do have a 7 days of manifesting with the Leprechauns blog, and I was posting that. And that's a class where every day you practice leprechaun favors, which I found is an amazing way to bring abundance and bring me kind of into the magic of life. So each day you bring service to a different thing, like service to the animals, service to the land, service to my home, service to those around me. And the leprechauns really teach that through doing these happy, good deeds for our community, for our family, bring us back into that flow of abundance. And the leprechauns started to visit me years ago when I first started to get out on my own and I didn't have parents. And I remember being really worried once, like I needed to manifest money. And I was walking down the street in my neighborhood, and there's lots of gardens there. And I kept hearing the Lucky Charm noise. And then leprechauns started coming to me, and they started to snap their fingers and make all this, like, in my mind's eye, gold and, like, riches appear. And they were saying, this is how easy it is. Just visualize and snap your fingers. And then that started the beginning of my kind of manifesting work with the leprechauns, because one of the major lessons of the leprechauns is that we can instantly manifest, and we are magical. And leprechauns have been taught that since they were kind of born, like it's part of their consciousness. So they always help us as humans to remember that we have that magical aspect too, but we have not been taught it. So when we get in that limitation of, oh, we can't create, and I need to thrive more, I need more abundance, the leprechauns are great teachers of that. And that's my major leprechaun teaching, is to do the leprechaun favors. And the way that works is I can always meditate with the leprechauns. I say, okay guys, what do you want me to do? And I'll usually get a list, like give somebody a little gift, go clean garbage. That I do that a lot. Like I go around my neighborhood with a garbage bag and I clean up little wooded areas, and then I bless the earth there. And that's a major way that can always kind of get back into the flow of abundance. And so that's one of their major teachings, is to do those favors. So I inspire everybody to meditate with the leprechauns and see what they'd like them to do. Because when that happens, I notice it's kind of like a treasure map. Like the leprechauns are like, okay, get this gnome for this person's garden, and then do this, 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 and then it will lead to like another magical experience. Awesome. And then another magical experience. So they've been great teachers of manifestation and magic and getting in that flow of our life when, you know, we're connected to everything and we meet the right people, and then like a magical bird lands in our path and, you know, things like that. They kind of get us back in the flow of life.
I love it. And I love, like, how much fun is it to play with leprechauns and to do acts of service? Like, that's super fun. Yeah. I love that. Really giving back to the earth and taking care of, right? That's super cool. Super cool. So I know that you have, like, you have all these different classes that you've created and stuff, and even like one area, right? So tell us, if somebody wanted to take a class of yours or find one of these, what's the best way? Like, what are different ways that they can find this information from you?
Most of my stuff is on angelfairyhealing.com, and I'm also on Facebook on Angel Fairy Healing with Andrea Dumbecki. And my two major things, I have the Fairy Healer course, and that's like a one-time course, which is like 8 hours of live class and lots of fairy meditations to help people connect with their fairy lineage, start to communicate with fairies, do fairy energy healing. That has a lot of my fairy teachings. And I also have the Angel Fairy membership, which gives them access to over like 20 or more of my fairy classes from throughout the years on, you know, leprechauns, unicorns, dragons, fairy healing for home, and lots of other things like that.
Cool. And they can find that at, what's your website again?
AngelFairyHealing.com.
Awesome. AngelFairyHealing.com. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to continue the conversation with Andrea about fairies and all things magical. We will be right back. Thank you. And we're back, and I have Andrea Dombecki with me. And Andrea, like I said at the beginning of the show, is a very multifaceted healer and designer. And much of, if you look at Andrea's work, I mean, she just has, not only does she have loads and loads and loads of information about connecting to the fairy realm and the leprechauns and the unicorns and all of these things magical, she also does all of the drawings herself. Now, I think when I first initially found you, Andrea, I don't know, we became Facebook friends or something, and I had seen you had shared a unicorn deck. And it's like kind of like a tarot card deck, if you will, but it's different unicorn cards that are like oracle cards, right? And they have different messages on each one. And when I seen those cards were like, oh yes, buy me, buy me, buy me. And I actually, I think before I'd done anything else, I think that was the very first thing that I ever purchased from you, was your unicorn cards. And I love those things. I love the magical messages that they bring. And from there, it was really kind of. So talk to me about you have lots of different oracle cards that you've designed, correct?
Yes, I have three major decks now. My first one was my fairy deck, the Enchanted Fairy Heart Oracle. Then I did the unicorn deck, the Unicorn Memoirs. And then I just completed an angel deck, the Loving Angels Oracle.
Awesome. And you did my deck too, my Ask and Receive cards, which I don't really promote a whole lot, but I had done a whole bunch of questions where you can ask and receive. And I know that even if you're a healer and I know a lot of people will tell me, oh, who helped you do those? I'm always telling people, well, you did, you helped me. And also, not only do you do the cards, but you designed my book cover. You have such a magical way of tapping into the energy of art and bringing a certain energy alive. So why don't you talk to us about being an artist and even integrating that energy in life?
Yeah, being an artist is one of the major ways I think I channel healing energy, because even before I knew and had defined myself as a healer, I remember as a child that I would draw these like flower goddesses and then I would hang them on the wall and then I would get like downloads of energy from these pictures. And it was always like the same thing. I would draw like this kind of goddessy woman with big shiny eyes and like flowers and color all around her. And I felt like when I drew those pictures, they balanced me and I didn't even know what I was doing. And I naturally did that. And then I went to art college and the same thing, I drew all my goddesses and my pictures and I hung them all over my dorm room. And it was like, I would always kind of heal through the art. And so when I started to get the idea to make my oracle cards, it was like a continuation of that, because I am a digital artist, but digital art is just a medium for me. I'm mostly a painter and an illustrator. And what I do is a lot of my cards are visions that I had and that I drew by hand or painted. And then I redrew them, traced them digitally. So they have that original energy of that gateway that that vision had, whether it's, you know, a moonflower or a unicorn with a fairy, or it's one of my favorite cards is my renewal fairy card, and she's kind of like a green woman, and she's the card of rebirth, and she just has all this like green energy around her, and she represents that energy to recreate herself. And I have paintings of her, drawings of her. So I feel like art is this kind of way that we can channel healing energy, shift our vibration. And I know we've all experienced that when we went to an art show, or, you know, we have certain art prints we like, or even our clothes, where we were drawn to the color, the shape, the vision, and we're like, wow, I need that. That's delicious to me. So that's how the card started, because I started to collect all of those drawings and then started to redraw them digitally, and then put those decks together as ways where people can interact with that realm, and ways for us to, you know, channel from that realm with the help of those visions.
Awesome. And you also have fairy tales you've wrote, correct? And even coloring books, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so talk to us about your books and your coloring books and what they provide for others.
Yeah, my books, my coloring books are a lot of the same kind of art. Everything's kind of connected. And I remember when I first did my first coloring book, I had finished my fairy deck, and then I had all the digital art, and then I was guided to, you know, take the color out of it and make it into a coloring book. And so that's great for children. Lots of kids love to color those visions of the fairies and the animals and the flowers, and it really helps them connect with the realm and just that playful, joyous energy. And so my fairy tales, one of my major ones is Cadalia, and that was more of like an epic journey, my own fairy tale that I channeled, and then my husband helped me illustrate it. And so that has a lot of those magical creatures in it, and some of them are in my fairy deck, like the Squirrel King and the Fairy Queens, and their messages of hope and courage and rebirth. So I feel like that those are ways that I reach different age groups and people throughout my different fairy things, whether it's coloring books, illustrated fairy tales, and even picture books, because that's something I was guided to do for the real little children that didn't, they liked the visions, but they didn't like a lot of words. So I started to make just the big pictures of the cats and the fairies for them. And so even when my friend brought her baby granddaughter over, she was only like a few months, like 6 months old, but she was connecting with those picture books, and I could feel it on like an empathic level, like the joy of the color and the visions and the energy behind the pictures. And I could feel how good that is for the children. And you know, we think of that in toy stores. What are toy stores filled with? Like stuffed animals, like big pictures of unicorns, and like happy visions of those realms, because they're very comforting to the children, because they do get, you know, transported to those places. And even as a child who loved all those things, I was always told they weren't real. And it was funny how when I became a grown-up, I had to unprogram myself to be like, wait, maybe the fairies are real. Why am I hearing them and getting visions of them? So it's really interesting to see how kids react to that stuff. And even now, I do fairy workshops and art workshops with children, and it's like they always like know about the fairies. Like in their yard, they'll be like, the fairies live here. It's like you don't have to even tell them they're real. And I feel that's really, really interesting, to give the kids permission to, from an early age, believe in that stuff and interact with them, because it's really healing for them.
Yeah, let's talk more about that. So as a parent of these, if you have young children right now, I know that there's, you know, I feel like the parents right now, though, I feel like we're giving our children more space to be than they probably we've ever given children space to be, right? So how are some ways that parents can encourage their children to really connect to these magical realms? Do you have some ideas or suggestions about that?
I think the first thing is like from a young age, like teaching them meditation and like even channeling, because I think we don't understand that. Like I remember even when I started to be able to talk to angels, it was the same thing, where it was so comforting. Because it was like we naturally have invisible friends, right? As a kid, and then we're kind of like we phase that out. So it's kind of like giving them permission to, you know, meditate and connect with those realms for protection, for guidance, and then in practical ways, to not have bad dreams at night, to not be afraid of the dark, and also, you know, to connect with you know, creativity and just kind of, I think just like adults, just giving them permission to have their own experience, like giving them space to know that stuff is real, especially if they see it and hear them, and to kind of explore those relationships.
Okay. Okay. And I feel like your products and what you do really is part in opening that up, right? Is that?
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny you say that, because I've had a lot of like letters from people who say that they use my fairy deck with their children, and one preschool teacher uses it, and the kids are like, the fairies are real, the deck is magical. And it's like the kids really feel it. And then, or they use it like as a way for them to, like, they pull a card every day in the morning and connect with the fairies. It's this magical way that the parents could connect with the children. And I could feel that magical energy, because, you know, as an adult, or as you grow up, you get kind of disconnected from that, right? We get into the seriousness of life. And so it's a great way for us to connect with, you know, the magic of life and the magic of interacting with the world around us, and to keep that alive in the children, you know, that, you know, you're seeing your totem animal, or, you know, you're going to have a magical day and magical things are going to happen and you're safe in the world.
And what a great, like, I mean, to expect magical things to happen. I mean, that's awesome. Like, if we could all every single day wake up and expect something magical is going to happen today. I mean, wow, that would really change the world, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny when you invite that energy in, because I know when I do a fairy class or something, I'll start to have magical things to happen. Like a hummingbird will come and like just stop right in front of me. Or one time I did a fairy show and a squirrel attached to my screen and was like watching me. But it was like cute. It wasn't scary. It was like, so it's like once you start to work with the fairies in that way, they start to like get excited and like, oh, they believe in us, and you'll listen, they have a lot to say, and then they're connected to the animals, the birds, the squirrels also, and even your pets, you know?
Yeah, that's super cool. Super cool. So do you have something that you can share with us that we can do to, as the audience, to really invite more magic into our lives, or something that you would like to share to really step into more space of that?
Definitely. If you like, I'd like to do just like a mini, you know, attunement kind of meditation for us to connect with our fairy guides and the fairy realm in general. And once I teach that, I recommend that people practice that, because once you start to invite that energy, you can take time daily or weekly to listen or connect with the fairies on a conscious level, and then you can start your own adventure with the fairies.
Yeah, I'd love that. That'd be awesome.
All right. So if you guys would like to open your heart, release your mind and all thoughts and distractions, we're just going to get into our body, especially our heart, and we're going to start to sense the fairy kingdom all around us. We're going to invite that the veil is lifting, and that we want to interact with our fairy guides. And I just want you to be receptive to any visions that you have. We're just inviting, opening the doorway to our fairies. And I'm just going to be doing a little attunement on everybody, just letting go of resistance or any mental energy that's just out of, in the way of helping us to be totally open and receptive to this magical dimension. And the way it would like to work with us with regards to bringing more magic and joy into our lives, with inspiring us creativity, and helping us to just live more in the magical flow of life. You can hold your hand out and imagine that you are inviting a fairy to sit in your hand. And I want you to just feel what that's like, if that affects your nervous system. We do feel fairies on a deep level. You might start to feel an excitement, a magic, a sweetness in your being. And just kind of connect with the fairies in that way. I just want to share some fairy energy healing with everybody. Just imagine that the fairies are flying all around you, releasing stress, bringing you into the magical, playful energy of your inner child, awakening that just pure bliss of being alive, of skipping and being happy, being present, enjoying the simple pleasures of life, and just opening your heart to that present moment. And I'd just like you to take a moment to feel how easy it is to connect with the fairies and feel what that's like to you and how you connect with them. Do you hear them? Do you see them in your inner eye? Or do you feel them? How does your being feel? I do see the fairies. They like to, sometimes like little ones like to land on people's noses, and it's like they tickle and it's like a playful thing. So as we start to bring ourselves back into the present moment, I just want everybody to take note of what fairy visions they had or how that felt and how they could practice that on their own. And if that felt right to them, because many of us, you know, we go on this path of once we start to connect with the fairies, we keep going because it feels so good to us. So I really want to talk about that some of us are really drawn to the fairy realm. And that means that we have a magical purpose with the fairies. And it's really fun to uncover that, whether that's working with children, environmentalism, energy healing, writing, fairy tales, crafts, fashion. Food. There's so many ways that we work with the fairies with regards to our life purpose. How you doing, Jamie?
I'm good. So when you say that was super cool. When you say in regards to their life purpose, so I lost my question here, but I had a question pop up that was like, okay, so we can use the fairies to kind of help guide us into more of our life purpose?
We co-create with the fairies. Also, they're kind of like guardians and mentors, so they'll kind of help assist us. So, for example, okay. If I started to meditate with the fairies and I started to get visions of like, oh, I got to write fairy tales. Sometimes that's a co-creative purpose where actually there's a group of fairies that's like, Andrea's supposed to write this book for us, right? And so we could reach humanity and like, so we're a team. So, and I find that with like, especially like people who work with young children, like, you know, preschool teachers and stuff, it's like, you're working with the fairies as a team to bring more light and joy and happiness and clarity within your life purpose. And also when they bring that energy behind it, it has a real like magical momentum. It's like it multiplies your creativity, your intention, your light, if that makes sense.
Yeah, awesome. It was interesting when you first started talking and kind of going into that connection, the first thing that I really became aware of was this energy where it was like, no, you're not allowed to connect to magic. You know, like you're not allowed to be magical. You're not allowed to connect to the magic. Do you feel like people come against or have to kind of like clear a certain level or a certain energy, because I feel like for so long, right, we weren't allowed to be magical and we weren't really allowed to connect to anything. I mean, even if we even look at like in biblical times, right, like, you know, someone else always had to, like, we couldn't connect to that kind of stuff ourselves, right? So I guess looking at that in terms of, do you find that or even do you have something that if people are feeling resistance to it, like, oh, I can't seem to connect to my magic or I can't seem to connect to magic. Do you have something that helps them get to that space where they feel comfortable with being able to connect to magic or they feel where it's not like forbidden? Like, what would you suggest if they have that feeling of it being forbidden or they can't access it?
I do address this in a lot of my fairy classes, especially my fairy healer course, is releasing that shame or lack of permission or even karma, past lives where it was forbidden, where your power was forbidden or your ability to channel. And throughout my own journey, I found that when those energies came up, I've worked on my confidence as a gentle, sweet soul. And I really like uniting the confidence and the courage and almost the warrior energy to hold space that we have permission to do this. And the world needs this to heal itself, because I find there's a lot of philosophical and even religious bullying on the planet. And when I dealt with these energies firsthand, and I've gotten letters that my stuff is sacrilegious and I'm talking to demons, and I've actually heard it all. But when I looked deeper into that energy, I felt like it was just like a bullying of spiritual dogma. And so there's a few aspects I had looked at. One was, you know, the fear of that you're crazy, right? You're hearing voices. Two is that you're not allowed to channel, right? You're going to channel something dark. And three is that you're making it all up. You're stupid, whatever, you know, or, you know, it's just not normal. You're weird. And believe me, I've gotten called weird my whole life for talking to myself, for drawing too much, you name it. And when I kind of leaned into that vibe, it was kind of like I felt good about myself, because I'm like, well, but wait, I'm a way shower, and it's okay to, you know, be what I am. And when I moved into that, it was like the path of the heart, where, right, my heart says, this feels good for me. Even if, you know, this other kind of authority figures or whatever say it's not, I want to trust, you know, my heart. And I think that's an important lesson that we need to do with all philosophies and religions, is really trust, you know, our heart, and know that we have permission to connect with our spirituality, our healing in these creative, beautiful ways. And if it feels right for us, we need to, you know, cultivate that confidence and courage. And so throughout the years, I've dealt with that a lot, and I'm much more comfortable in my own skin. And it's amazing now how then you give other people permission to be open about those things. Because you know how many people, like, even locally, I'll have a class, like, I had a class, like, years ago, and 14 people came, even men were in there, and they're like, yeah, we see the fairies in our garden. It was like, once I spoke about it, all these other people were like, oh, yeah, I see them twinkling in the garden. They're around my little children.
Awesome. So, awesome. Yeah, very cool. So when I was really connecting to, for me, there is fairy, but I go back to, like, there's a lot of, I don't know, I just really feel a lot of leprechaun energy around me. And so I was inviting the fairies as well, but it's like I see a mix of fairies and leprechauns. I love the magic aspect of it. The green energy has always been a big healing energy for me. You know, green is, I've always been drawn to green. I've always loved green. And I've always been kind of an envisioner of that, like, green energy, if you will, for myself, and even using for healing for myself. So I love it. It's very cool. Very cool. So if people want to find all of your amazing stuff, especially even as a designer, I mean, gosh, you are always designing things. And like I said, you know, you helped me. You've actually pretty much, I think everything I have at this point, if it's a logo or even a design, like even at my Expand Your Reality Institute, it's stuff that you have designed for me. So if people would like you, now when you do a design for someone else, do you do, like, even kind of explain your process to me for what you do for their business?
Yeah, depending on the person's needs, like, people come and they need a logo, or they need, you know, art for their website, or they need a website or a book cover or illustrations. What I usually do is, like, I will have a consultation and talk to the person, and maybe, you know, they'll see what I can do. And usually we have a connection, and then I'll kind of, I have a booklet that I give people for their branding. I'm working with a lot of spiritual healers for their branding, to get their spiritual imagery, you know, whether it's a rose or a butterfly, and getting that kind of down, their colors, their font, their imagery, and then working with them to create things that are visually beautiful, that represent the symbol or the energy of, you know, their business and then make that beautiful presentation. So I help a lot of people with branding and logo and like graphics on their website. I also offer art licensing where I'll, you know, change my art a little or, you know, give them pieces for book covers or to use on their website and things. So I love to work with spiritual healers. I also illustrate. I co-create illustrated books with people, and I love to connect with people in that way.
So if they wanted to connect to you and look at your kind of your design work, now I know that you have lots of stuff on Amazon, right? You have books, and if you search your name, it's Andrea Dombecki, Dombecki, right? Is that correct? I think I did that right? Mm-hmm. You have lots of stuff on Amazon, correct? Then you have stuff on your website that you have as well, that I think you pretty much created all the art on your website. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I do have a design website, AndreaDombeckiDesigner.com, and that just shows my graphics and illustrations and logos and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. So I know that for you, for my book, the Empath's Guidebook to Consciousness and Awareness, I really kind of had a certain energy that I was looking for. And you had actually put out was it an oracle card that you had created?
It was an angel from my angel oracle deck, yeah.
Okay. And I seen the image. It wasn't the exact same image that's on my book, but it was a similar image, right? And I was like, oh, that's really what I want for my book. And so we worked together, and I just want to say that you helped me so much, really being my first book and doing it self-published. Really, you were an amazing guide to really give me clarity even on the road I was going and what I was looking for. And I think that I feel like I took forever to finish it all up, but you were such an amazing space of help for me. So I know there's so many people right now that are wanting to get these stories out, right? And I feel like even when you kind of took my project in, it allowed me to have more clarity, because, you know, I feel like as a healer, or as a guide of any way, shape, or form, right? When we connect with someone and we agree to work with someone, we kind of give them our space to really get clear about what it is that they are creating. So I think that that's a amazing thing that you offer for people. And there's so much clarity and playfulness and fun energy, joy, I guess I should say, and in the space that you be as a healer and as a angel guide and the multi facets of what you do. So you also have a portal, kind of like what I do with my Expand Your Reality Institute, right? Where they can actually sign up and they can pay like a monthly fee, right? And then they can access all of these different courses that you have. Is that correct?
Yes, I have a membership. It's the Angel Fairy Healing School membership. And I have over like 40 classes in there on angels, fairies, unicorns, abundance, leprechauns, self-help, all types of stuff. And then I do two live classes a month where people can come in and interact and get healings and readings. And then I also, you know, put at least two recordings in there. And it's a great kind of healing sanctuary with a lot of my work.
Awesome. And where would they find that? They can find that through your website as well?
Yeah, through angelfairyhealing.com, and you just click on school in the menu.
Okay. And then I know that I am also part of your Facebook group, which you are very active in there and always kind of inviting people into that magical realm. What is that on Facebook if they want to join your Facebook group?
That's Angel Fairy Healing with Andrea Dombecki, and then that's linked to the fan page. You can join the group. And yeah, we do lots of fun free classes in there. I do a lot of YouTube videos, and I have a podcast.
You do. And how often is your podcast? Does your podcast come out? Do you have a certain schedule, or do you just do it whenever?
I do it whenever, but usually there's like 1 to 4 episodes a month.
Okay. And where does your podcast play at?
My podcast is on iTunes. I have two different podcasts. One's Angel Life Makeover, which is a very old one. I've done that for like 8 years. And then my new one is Angel Fairy.
Oh, wow. You have one that's 8 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I didn't even know that. That's super cool. Very cool. Awesome. All right. Well, we're almost out of time. We just have a couple minutes here left. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add, Andrea, about anything that we talked about today?
I just wanted to say that I'm really excited that people are open to the fairies in this magical way, and I'm really excited about co-creating human evolution with the fairies, and I want to really have people meditate on that how are the fairies helping us with evolution of our personal happiness, health, abundance, and evolution of lifestyle and earth healing and just living more in harmony with ourselves, each other, and the planet.
Awesome. Yeah, it's quite an open-ended subject, isn't it? It's very cool. Yeah, super cool. All right, awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your magic with us. It's super fun. I enjoy personally to be connected. I love how very active you are on Facebook and always reminding me to look for the magic. I love that you post pictures. You're like, do you see the fairy? I love that because it like always reminds me to look for that kind of stuff. And again, like, I mean, if we all understood the magic that was available to us at all times, right? It's all over. There's always little beings willing to contribute magic to your life and really being open to be able to see that and really holding that space for magic to always come in your life. I think that's an amazing thing. So thank you so much for sharing your magic and for sharing all of your skills and your art and all of it with this world, because it's really such a contribution to this planet and such a contribution to me. So thank you so much for all of that, Andrea.
And thank you, Jamie, and thanks for believing and always, believing in me and supporting me. I think that really, makes a difference when you know people accept that and are inspired by that. So thank you.
Yeah, I love it. I totally love it. So thank you so much. And again, give the audience one more time your website before we go. So what is it again?
AngelFairyHealing.com.
Awesome. AngelFairyHealing.com. All right. Thank you so much for joining me today, Andrea. And I will talk to you all next week. Have a great day, everyone. Thank you.
You have been listening to Expand Your Reality with your host, Jamie Bates. Thank you for listening.